I'd like to call the Transportation Finance Conference Committee to order. We do have a quorum. First thing, I'd just like to comment, you have a lot of handouts, and these handouts, unless we say otherwise, are actually put together by both the Senate and House staff. If they're an individual one or for something separately, they would be identified.
Why am I sitting here? I should be sitting here. Do I look like Susie?
We will be going through, again, basically the side-by-side and picking up comparable things and establishing the position of the conference committee. So actually, as we go through, anyone is welcome to offer a motion to either to take the House or the Senate provisions, and certainly if you do that, we'd expedite it a little bit. We will again rely a lot on our staff because they do go through the procedure that we have. And I think the one thing that we should be aware of, we will try to, Senator Murphy and I have discussed probably trying to meet every day next week if we could. And it's our intention to try to avoid evening meetings and try to avoid a Saturday meeting. One of the difficulties that we need to watch is how we handle sessions, and specifically Monday, I think the Senate goes in at 10 and the House goes in at
1.
Oh, you go in at 1. Okay. The House goes in at 12:30, and it was our intent, Senator Murphy and I discussed, to meet, what did we say, 20 minutes after the last, was our intent to meet 20 minutes after the last session, which either ended up last. And then we always have this room assigned. This is always our room. So unless we'd announce otherwise, both in the either session, that's what we'll attempt to do. And again, Monday might be the one that might be the one to be loused up a little bit. I don't know how long our sessions are going. I don't know how long yours are going to be. You know? I think we have most of our major things out far as major bills.
Mr. Chairman, I think the Senate was going to take up the medicinal marijuana on Monday, so that would take a good 15, 20 minutes.
Only if they're smoking it.
No. I'm going to take a couple hours.
And I think, too, for the members of the House, I could probably suggest sometimes if we're strictly on the calendar, you know, when we're towards the end of the session, in order to expedite the conference committee, we could get excused from the session, too, so you're aware of that. Again, these handouts that we do have some amendments which we'll address, some technical amendments which Mr. Burris will address, too. So the one unfinished business we had, I think you've all been spoken to about, Senator Dibble isn't here. Do you want us maybe just to wait till he comes? You know he's coming, Senator?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dibble had a family function to take care of today, so he's not going to be with us. And Senator Carlson's on his way.
Senator Carlson's here.
Oh, he's right there. What? I mean...
So actually,
he just called me on the phone. That's why I turned mine off.
The unfinished business that we had from last time dealt with how we'd handle the wheelage tax, and I think you've all been approached or lobbied by both sides of the issue. And rather than spending more time, that issue directly doesn't affect the finance of the state or basically the county state highway system. It affects locally the county system and the city system, so there's not a major impact on the target. One of the difficulties I explain is the fact that we're not moving any, basically too much on the money items, because supposedly we will get a target. We assume that target is coming, and I think as you understand, the target is not that big a deal for this transportation finance, because most of our monies are dedicated money, but it's something that all the conference committees are looking at, or before they can close up, they have to get their target. And again, that's something we will, I anticipate, have this week, by the end of the week at least, so we can close it up then. So the issue before us is the Senate or the House position on the wheelage tax. And the wheelage tax, there was, I think, too, Mr. Burris says, and we should probably, there were discussion, there were two issues on the wheelage tax. One was the fact of an up to $20, and the other was, we do have in the House, I believe in the Senate, basically a flat $20. And I think there was an issue by the county or someone brought up about making it an up to because of some other issues that they concerned about. So when we address this, we should address whether we take the House position and also whether we have an amendment to make it up to or leave it up to just plain flat $20. So unless there's some discussion, or I'd accept a motion for either the House or the Senate position, and then we can discuss it too, Senator Murphy.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you know, we were provided some more information, which we asked for from the Trucking Association on what that impact on the wheelage tax meant to not only them, but to the counties that they're in. And I don't know if everyone got a copy of this. Did everybody on the...
Is it a handout? Did we give everyone a copy? I think. Oh no, that was not our handout. I think that came from one of the.
That came from right.
Does everyone have that? Were you aware of it? If you wanted to discuss it further, Senator Murphy.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we're gonna vote on this because I made the comment the other day that we should just vote on this and be done with it, but I kind of have a feeling how our conferees are going to vote, and I'm not too sure about the House conferees, but the big bold letters here at the bottom of the page cause me to kind of slow down a little bit, maybe reassess at least the vote that I'm going to take.
Actually, is this new information as far as the members of the committee? We could lay this aside to the next meeting, too, Senator Murphy.
Well, that discuss it. I think that might be prudent that way. I think the Senate maybe... because if Ms. Lovro could come to the table, I think that there's a couple issues surrounding the CASA formula that... There's an issue surrounding the CASA formula that needs to be changed, and it's kind of works hand in hand with some of the things that we're talking about for the truckers here. Ms. Lovro, we had a discussion earlier in the week. It must have been around Wednesday or so, but there was a couple things with the CASA formula that you saw needed to be changed amongst the differences here.
Ms. Lovro?
Mr. Chair, for the record, Carol Lovro with AMC. I don't know, Steve, if you're referring to the flexible account. I don't recall a conversation about the county state aid highway formula.
All right, Ms. Lovro, maybe it was, Mr. Chairman, maybe it was flexible.
Ms. Lovro, I believe you're correct. That's when we get into it, that's with the flexible count on the split on that 5% or whatever it was in that part. And the 35% issue, I think we had some...
Right,
Senator,
regarding the county turnback issue.
While you're there, Ms. Lovro, apparently you have an interest, or the counties have an interest in this wheelage tax, and I believe you've spoken about having a not... more than, or not a fixed amount of 20, you wanted it not more than 20?
Mr. Chair, a week ago on Friday, our LEDGE steering committee met, and previously AMC had had a position of supporting a flat $20 wheelage fee. But after a lot of discussion at the LEDGE steering committee, who has the authority to change AMC's legislative position, there were rural counties that really, if they're going to impose it, would need a $20 wheelage fee to make it worth their while. At the metro level, the metro counties feel much more comfortable having it be a $5 wheelage fee. So we want to go on record now as saying we do support anywhere from a $5 to a $20 wheelage fee. we would do 5, 10, 15, and 20. We don't think it should be 12 or 14 or 17. But we do want to go on record as saying AMC supports up to a $20 wheelage fee and leave it flexible. And, Mr. Chair, there probably aren't a lot of counties that may take it. This is by county board resolution. And there are probably many counties that are not going to do this. So it isn't that all 87 counties are going to jump on board and impose a wheelage fee.
Representative Earhart had a question.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You'd be satisfied if we made it flexible in that we could make it $0 to $20 then, depending on county option. We don't have to fix it at 5, 10, 15, or 20, but we can make it county option up to 20. That would dissatisfy you, because I don't think that's what you're saying.
That's what I'm
that's
saying.
My understanding.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Ms. Lebra, do you have any other comment?
Not unless issue? Any of the members have questions.
No. Any other questions of Ms. Lebra? Senator Carlson.
Mr. Chair, I have a question that I've just asked Ms. Berezovsky about. That when we're talking about the levying this fee on trucks, is it on both the tractor and the trailer?
Senator Carlson, that was my concern all the time, and we haven't addressed that, and that's one of the issues we'd have to address in this issue when we get to voting whether it should be on trucks or not. The House position had it exempted the trucks over 20 in the Senate, so that's the position we have to establish.
Yes, sir. How about trailers? Was that also in the
that was a, that wasn't clear, and that's we do have to clarify that too, Senator.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Portman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just can't remember when we last met. I thought that Patricia McCormick from Driver and Vehicle Services said that there was some computer programming problem with having varying wheelage taxes in the different counties, and that if we wanted to vary them, that the programming that they would have to do would take until 2010.
Representative Hortman, I expect to call her.
Okay.
We can question her that. Apparently we have another gentleman at the podium.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Bob Vanosik, and I represent the Minnesota Inter-County Association. And we would concur with having the language on the wheelage tax say up to $20. And we would also concur that what I think counties would be looking at is probably increments of 5, 10, 15, or 20. We also recognize the problems that Ms. McCormick has talked to you about in terms of their computer capacity. But what we'd like, and we think this is the way you can resolve the issue, is you leave it flexible, up to $20. It then gives the counties and the department the opportunity to sit down and work that out. And it's not something that you need to try to prescribe a solution for in advance. The three counties that have imposed the $5 wheelage tax had to sit down with the department and work out how they were going to do the mechanics of collecting that money. And we were able to work something out, Washington, Dakota, and Anoka counties, and I don't see any reason why the same thing wouldn't happen again, especially when I would suspect that most of those costs are going to be borne by the counties that want to impose a tax. So we're not going to want to be doing anything that's going to be prohibitively expensive. So if you go up to $20, then leave it up to us and the department to work out the mechanics as to how to best do that.
Thank you. Any questions of either witness?
Sure.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I may just ask, how do you all then address the truck trailer question that Senator Carlson brought up?
Well, I guess we feel if you're going to have the county option wheelage tax, as Mr. Tilley testified the other day, that heavy trucks ought to be included.
I think too. The question is, as Senator Carlson posed, I know in many cases the terminal, the tractor is separate from the trailers, and a lot of times there are more trailers parked at a terminal than the tractors are, you know, pretty mobile. Do you you assess the wheelie checks of both the tractor and the trailer? Mm-hmm. Or how do you do that as a unit, I mean?
Well, Mr. Chairman, frankly, I have to tell you that our organization has not taken a position specifically on that question.
That's the question you had, Representative
right,
Morrow, right?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Senator Carlson has. Okay. There are no further questions. Thank you, the witness. We should maybe have Ms. McCormick, if we could, please. Welcome to the committee, Ms. McCormick. We would have some questions, I believe, and the question is, how does this affect your ability to administer the program, the wheelage tax, if we show a tax of up to $25 increments?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, Pat McCormick with Driver and Vehicle Services. As I had stated previously, I think it will be 2010 before DVS would be able to administer any type of additional wheelage tax past the above and beyond what we already have programmed, which is at currently just for the seven metropolitan counties that are authorized in law at this time. In terms of if it's variable or if it's a standard $20, either way, that would be the earliest that we would be able to administer any new wheelage tax other than what we have in our program. And I really can't respond more than that without having a longer discussion with our technical staff.
Ms. McCormick, actually, though, you could accommodate a $5 statewide because your program for that, would that be correct?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, no. We wouldn't be able to add more than the metropolitan counties because it would require new financial codes for each county because of the fact that that tax has to be accounted for and then provided to each county, and there is the capacity and the sustainability of our current system wouldn't allow it in any time before 2010.
Ms. McCormick, actually, you could, if, just as an example, you could say you could accommodate a flexible 0 to 20 and $5 increments in the year 2010, and you could accommodate the seven county metro area, all seven counties, only at the $5 level right now. Would that be a correct statement?
Mr. Chair, we have all the programming done for the seven metropolitan counties at the $5 tax currently. I haven't talked to our staff about increasing the dollar amount for the seven metropolitan counties. I don't think that would be an issue. The issue for us is more having the additional codes that would have to be added if we went to all the counties in the state, as well as having and also being able to have the capacity to handle that additional load on our system.
Thank you. Representative Earhart?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Mr. McCormick, it took a while, and I'm not sure it's straightened out yet, to get the driver's license from 6 months back to 2 months or something or other. What more would it take to get a new programmer or a new computer or something or other that could to put this thing, bring us into the 21st century here at DVS? 3 years to program this thing is insane, frankly.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, if we were to take the current system that we have right now and redesign that system, that would be at least a 3-year process anyway, because you're talking about a system that has to currently keep operating and ensuring we're collecting taxes and issuing driver's licenses at the same time that we would be modifying our system and keeping business going and making sure that we're being accurate in the taxes we're collecting on behalf of the state, and also making sure we're dealing with all the 4,500 dealers that work as our agents in terms of the title and registration process, and 173 deputy registrars and 125 driver's license agents who are all connected to our system. And I know that this is not what you'd like to hear, but that's just the reality of the situation at the current time. So we don't see any way to be able to do it before then and keep our system running and our operations maintained, even if we were to start working on re-engineering our information system.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm asking what would it take to break the mold here and speed things up? Do you need more people, more money, a new computer system? Has anybody thought about that or no?
Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, yes, we have been discussing and looking at what it would take. I don't have an exact figure for you, but we're talking about a large amount of money, and it would be, I can't even remember right now because I wasn't really prepared to talk about this, but I can get back to you in a couple of minutes. I just need to confer with our CIO to see what she would say.
We're probably getting away from the question, but it's something that should have been or should be asked, I can recognize, but I think we could cut it there unless Representative Earhart, you want further questioning on that?
No, I just wanted to make a motion to get this thing going, and I don't want to hold us up till 2010.
Yeah.
Maybe we should make the motion to that effect, Mr. Chairman.
We will be entertaining a motion fairly soon, I hope. Representative Morrow.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, I realized we were on before, but I'm incredibly frustrated by this. We've known about this wheelage tax possibility now for quite some time in this bill, and now I'm finding out that if we live outside the Seven County metro area, wait till 2010 if we get the money allocated, but we don't know the money amount, and we're just finding this out now. So I joined Representative Earhart. I'm very frustrated. I am not going to stand for voting for a wheel tax in any degree on any issue until I know that 80 counties are going to be able to be part of this process possibly. Mm-hmm. If we can't do this, then we're back to talking gas tax again, and I have to move off 10 cents. And I'm not moving down because we're taking away the option of fixing the roads and the bridges from the counties that we're looking to the wheel tax as a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions? Senator?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Morrow, you make a good point. but in defense of Ms. McCormick and the agency, Ms. McCormick had told me about this earlier, and that's why, you know, the other night I was asking about, you know, what are the capabilities of the computer. And we've known that DVS has worked with, I don't know, like 1980s technology for... since they bought it, that was, what, 10 years ago? I'm kidding, Ms. McCormick. But actually, they've worked with some pretty archaic methods of having to put everything in basically manually, and it's been difficult, and I think they've done a very good job with what they've had to work with. The problem is that, and it doesn't matter if it's the Department of Revenue or the Driver and Vehicle Services or Public Safety, computers aren't sexy. And when they come over and they say, we need a complete upgrade, yada, 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 and this is kind of goes back about 3 years ago when the Department of Revenue was building their new building, but they had no money for new computers. And computers aren't sexy, and we tend to overlook that and build the Willard Munger Trail because it has more sex appeal. And until we're ready to step to the plate, like next year in a bonding bill, and make sure that a lot of these agencies have the computer technology that they need, it's kind of half our fault.
Representative Hornstein had a question.
Very quick, Mr. Senator Murphy, I respect that, and being new, I haven't been told about the 1980s technology, but the 1980s technology was on deck last month as well, and we've been told that there was going to be a problem implementing this at that time as well. That's my point. I don't fault them for having 1980s technology.
Yeah.
Representative Hornstein?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Ms. McCormick. I guess Representative Earhart did ask, I think, a very appropriate question to this discussion. I wasn't sure we had an answer, which was, what will it take? I'm looking at the Department of Public Safety appropriations in this bill, and I think they're minimal for administrative fees. So what will it take for you to be able to accelerate this process or to upgrade your computer system? Do you have any kind of range of appropriation that's...
Ms. Gormley?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hornstein, I just wanted to verify what we had discussed with our CIO. And the range in terms of what we, without having a plan in mind, but knowing what other states are doing that have driver and vehicle service divisions such as ours, it would be between 30 and 50 million to replace the system that we currently have. And just the other thing, Mr. Chair, is I just want to mention that we have said that it would be 2010 before we would be able to do it in all of our fiscal notes on the transportation funding bills. I'm just not sure that that's something that's, because of the largeness of this bill, that's something that's probably been looked at. That was why I mentioned it at the last meeting that we had, because we have in every fiscal note on both the Senate and House transportation bill, we have said that it would take us until 2010 to be able to add any additional counties.
Thank you. I'd like to bring this to a head because we spent a lot of time last time and this time. There's no money involved as far as our finance division goes for the state. Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree. I think we should set this issue aside. I see we don't have any amendments in the packet, but I think we need an amendment that deals with the wheelage tax area on R-48. We haven't dealt with the truck issue. And I'm sure we're not going to vote on it today because we don't have any amendments prepared unless somebody has them somewhere that we haven't seen yet. And we're going to have to address both the issues when we're drafting amendments. And so I agreed with Mr. Banasik's suggestion is that we look at drafting the language so that it's up to $20 and we let DVS and the counties work on this and all of us keep in mind that we need to deal with the computer issue and the capabilities, but to move on and for the purposes of the transportation finance bill that we have to get done, we get these amendments prepared for our next meeting, and we deal with both the up-to language and the truck language at our next meeting when we have the amendments in front of us and we can vote on.
Thank you, Representative Hortman. That's who we're leading to. I talked to Senator Murphy. We thought we may lay it over. And it's not difficult. I think the language we could put together in a hurry, practically an oral amendment for all practical purposes, but it's our intent probably to address it at the next meeting, so you should be prepared, and we can have a sample. I think you've staff has probably a good idea what we're speaking about, and I can check with it. We can have a sample amendment drafted for the next. So we get Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one quick thing before we move on the and we have this handout from the truckers. I guess wouldn't need this now if we're going to do it at the next meeting, but I'd really be interested in having the fiscal staff take a look at this. Particularly, there's some interesting and I think very, very important claims made about the MVEST revenue in here, and I guess I'd like the fiscal staff to give us their opinion about
we could, just to so you have a clear picture too, probably we bring the individual up and just comment on that last statement and we'll cut it off there. Senator Bonoff, is that okay?
Thank you, yes, Mr. Chair.
Senator Bonoff?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would also ask for our next meeting if Ms. McCormick could get back to us with whether or not the current metropolitan counties that are programmed in the system, whether we could, as of right now, reprogram it to say $10, $15, $20, because it sounds like that's an open question. That we know for now it's programmed at $5, but it could be a very easy thing to change that. And so whether or not that too would have to wait till 2010 or whether that could be done immediately.
Thank you, Senator. We'll check. I didn't call her back, but I presume if you would nod your head, I could have it. Thank you, Ms. McCormick. Thank you, Senator. If there are no further questions on this subject, we'll move ahead and let Mr. Burris walk us through some of the side-by-side. You'd identify which one your sheet you have, Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, the working document for the day, I think, will be one of the handouts. It is a single-page legal that is titled Transportation Finance Committee Discussion Items, sort of a table format with text on both sides. Excuse me, Transportation Finance Conference Committee. Is that the title?
Oh, it's in this page. Right here, okay.
It was one of the individual sheets passed out this morning.
Does everyone have it? Yeah. Okay. Oh, it's single, right?
Here's it, right. Mr. Chair and members, on the leftmost column, you'll see a numbering, just as a quick reference as to which issue we're on. The first one on the list is number one. This is on page R23. Excuse me for a second while I get to that page. This language is identical between the House and Senate, and what it does is provide for previous appropriations for state highway construction that was appropriated in past fiscal years to be able to be utilized by the department in the 08-09 fiscal year. This is more or less boilerplate language that's existed in past appropriations bills. The difference between the House and Senate is essentially technical, in that the application of when this, or I should say the date or the point at which this no longer applies is different. It's really a provision that just applies for this 08-09 fiscal year, and the way it's structured in the House language, it would apply indefinitely, and that's not necessary. So the recommendation from staff is to, if you're going to adopt this language, to adopt the Senate version.
Is there questions or a motion to that effect?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Murphy moves the adoption of the Senate language. Any questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion's adopted.
Mr. Chair and members, item number two is on page R42. This is a technical change. It's a conforming change that goes along with the change relating to the motor vehicle sales tax. One of the aspects of the motor vehicle sales tax is changing the two funds, a Metropolitan Area Transit Fund and a Greater Minnesota Transit Fund, to be accounts within a single fund. And this is to be in conformity with the constitutional amendment. So this is essentially a technical change that would update a reference to be to an account instead of a fund because that accounting terminology changed.
Any questions from the committee?
Nope.
Not. Would someone move? Would that be the House or the Senate language?
This would be the House language. There isn't a Senate provision.
I'll move to adopt the House language. Oh, sorry.
Motion been made to adopt the House language. Representative Hortman?
Mr. Chair, is this subdivision referring to the money that would be raised by the Metropolitan Area Transit Tax? And does putting it in this place put it out of reach later for us to be providing it to the Joint Powers Board? Is it truly a technical amendment, or does this change who has the ability to make decisions about that money?
Mr. Chair, Representative Portman, it doesn't change the ability to move the money around. It's just a technical change on making it an account.
Okay.
Any further questions? If not, Senator Representative Moore, I'll move to accept the House language.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion's adopted. Mr. Moore, Mr. Burr,
Mr. Chair and members, item number 3 is a technical amendment. This is contains a couple of fixes to the House language, and I'll go through each of those pieces. The amendment has also been distributed, and it's H0946A50. There are 3 changes that are contained within this amendment. The first is to update a couple of internal references in the creation of the Transit Assistance Fund. And this is essentially technical, just to refer to the proper subdivisions within the new language. The second change is similar to what was just passed. It refers to changing the Greater Minnesota Transit Fund to be an account. And the third change is something identified by the Department of Public Safety. This would change the International Fuel Tax Agreement's sticker fee. It doesn't change the amount. It simply changes the column of where it's located in the new language so that it's 2 stickers that would be provided for this $2.50 fee instead of 1 sticker.
And again, Mr. Burse, that's a reason because they have to be placed in 2 different places in the truck. One's on the door, I think, and one's on the other side or something like that. So it's basically a cleanup because of the provision that there are 2 stickers needed, identification stickers on the truck, and it doesn't increase any cost or anything, but it was just an error, or not an error basically, but an overlook of saying 1 sticker rather than 2 stickers. And they are not that big. They're
Mr. Chair, I'd move the 850.
Move the amendment. Mm-hmm. Senator Murphy moved the amendment that you have. It was H0946A50. Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Contrary, no. The amendment is adopted. No.
Mr. Chair and members, moving on to item number 4. This is one of the provisions that's only in the House language. It's of the on the revisor side by side. It's on page R23. And what this language contains is a directive to the Department of Transportation to identify possible lands for identify and at least consider state-owned lands for possible sale. And there's no comparable language in the Senate.
Any questions? That was on the land identification, the MnDOT sale of land identification. Senator Bonoff?
Chair Leader, could you say some more about that so we understand what kind of land and what circumstance the sale would happen? Is this a question of taking or just?
Actually, Senator Bonoff, we had a separate bill, I believe, in the House came through, and it was incorporated in this, where they wanted to make certain that the department didn't keep any excess right-of-way lands, and in some cases they didn't have authority to sell them. And I believe Mr. Burson, that's correct in that issue. Speaking of a different one,
Mr. Chair, I believe that this was a floor amendment. I'm not aware of it being a separate bill.
It was some action that we had, but that's basically what it was. There was a concern that MnDOT is sitting on a lot of land that should be sold, and I know. Maybe you could comment further. Senator Murphy, excuse me.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if we're worried about MnDOT sitting on land, then we need to get rid of some language that's in this in this amendment, because it says must identify and at least consider the sale of state-owned land under custodial control of the commissioner. Maybe we should say must identify and shall sell. And, Mr. Chairman, I'm kind of being a little facetious here because this language really doesn't do anything, and I think we ought to just get rid of it all.
Senator Murphy, that's my feeling, but I know this is an issue with individual member, and we can accommodate it quickly by getting rid of it to us. Representative Hartman.
Yeah, that'll make it sound.
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonoff, on the, on the House floor when we debated the transportation finance bill, there were some proponents of the idea that MnDOT has plenty of money to do all the work that we need them to do to maintain our roads and to expand the system if they would just sell some of that excess land they're holding on to. And there were a number of different permutations of this amendment. And this one was the one that was adopted because it really, as Senator Murphy said, doesn't do anything.
Representative Hortman.
Well, Mr. Chair, maybe we should hear from Ms. Parker, but I would certainly be open to deleting this language.
Yeah, Ms. Parker, she is there.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Betsy Parker from MnDOT. I think it's a lovely idea that we could get lots more money by selling extra land, and I assure you if we had some, we would do it. but we don't. And, in fact, we have all the authority we need in existing state law to sell land that we wish to dispose of that we don't need for future trunk highway purposes. And it's not our practice to deliberately sit on land that could be put to some better use. The only constraint we have is having sufficient staff to do that when they're also busy acquiring land for highway projects. But we do, in fact, routinely in all of our districts, particularly the metro district, sell off surplus land that is no longer needed for trunk highway purposes. And the existing law does provide, as this language does, that the proceeds must be deposited in the trunk highway fund.
And I believe there are procedures, too, Ms. Parker, that is it first right of refusal to the previous landowner? Is that in the statute or not? But anyhow, that's probably beside the point.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Is there any action, Senator Murphy?
Well, no. Mr. Chairman, I just don't, I really don't believe we need to say anything more, and we don't need to make a motion to say we're going to throw it out. We just won't talk about it anymore, and it'll go away on its own. if that's the case, you know, here Ms. Parker and MnDOT beat us down once again. I was just wondering if maybe that buys us the first nickel of that 10-cent gas tax by throwing, maybe not, okay.
That's right, we haven't moved to adopt it, so this automatically dies. It's not in both the House and Senate.
Oh, really?
Recognize that. Apparently, too, Mr. Burris, in the last action that we took, we have to revisit it because we have to move to bring it back into the...
we have to put it in the conference committee report. Yeah.
We should have a motion to that effect.
I'd make that motion. And members, that's back to the A50 amendment. The A50 amendment just changed the language in the House side of the bill. Now we have to adopt the House language into the conference committee report, and I'd make that motion.
Any questions? Comment? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Contrary, no. The motion's adopted. Mr. Burris? Are you able to keep up?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members. The next item is number 5. It's on page R57. This provision is only in the House, and what it would do is provide authority to MnDOT to be able to transfer funds from the Trunk Highway Revolving Loan Account to the Trunk Highway Fund. MnDOT can speak to this better than I, but essentially they had testified in committee hearings that there's currently some funds in the Trunk Highway Revolving Loan Account that is an account that is for loans that are then repaid to the account, and the money is then used for other loans. Some of those funds are essentially limited to only be for the Trunk Highway system. So MnDOT is finding itself in the situation of loaning money to itself for trunk highway work, paying back to the trunk highway revolving loan accounts, but only being able to use those funds for trunk highway work. And what they're seeking is authority to simply move those funds to be in the trunk highway fund so that they don't have to loan money to themselves.
It's basically an accounting procedure, and I think it's capped. The revolving loan fund, I think, is capped, isn't it, Senator? I think it's capped at 20 or 15 million. Maybe not. But anyhow, this allows it to some move back and forth within the fund. Unless someone wants to testify. Are there any questions on that or not?
Mr. Chairman, members, you know, the Senate was pretty hesitant on swallowing this provision. Basically because there's been so much money either being transferred back and forth in MnDOT that it's hard for us to kind of at times set back and see the money flow and see exactly what it's being used for. We decided not to do this because we felt that that money in that revolving loan account was being used to buy off the debt service on bonds. And the Senate has been pretty adamant about our opposition to bonds unless they pay for themselves. And the governor hasn't had a hasn't had a program that pays for itself. So we would rather not give up this authority.
I see Mr. Gray is coming to the podium. Apparently it doesn't agree, Senator, I believe.
Oh, I'm sure that we'll reach some agreement.
Mr. Chair and members, the analysis that Mr. Barris stated is right on target. This is money, the Transportation Highway Revolving Loan Account was in fact seeded with a number of monies some number of years ago, 7-8 years ago. A great proportion of it was federal monies, in fact, which is the most flexible use of the funds, but some were trunk highway fund dollars, and in fact there's been an ongoing provision allowing the commissioner to transfer money into the Transportation Revolving Loan Fund. The money that is referenced here is indeed trunk highway monies, and the whole purpose of the Transportation Revolving Loan Account has been to springboard or to give local units of government the opportunity to leverage monies. Well, when it's limited to the trunk highway account, you cannot do that because it can only be used on the trunk highway. So it's essentially, we put money in there, and as was stated, we've borrowed it back to purchase right-of-way. We have been very careful, and to my knowledge, have never used it for repayment of bonds and or debt service. However, that does stretch our operating budget. But historically, we've used these monies to purchase right-of-way. And we end up repaying the revolving loan fund from future years' operating appropriations for right-of-way or the state road construction program. So it seems to be it didn't achieve its intended purpose originally because we can't essentially leverage the fund for the monies as the locals are able to do for their local projects.
Any questions to the Representative Hornstein? Your question? Or Representative Earhart?
Mr. Chairman, what kind of monies are we talking about here? Big monies, small monies, or?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Earhart, we're talking approximately just over $4 million that is sitting in the silo of the revolving loan fund account that's labeled Trunk Highway Fund monies. And so it would be $4 million that would come back to the fund to be reappropriated in the future.
Mr. Gray, isn't there also a cap on the total fund? Isn't there a cap of
20, 15? Mr. Chair, I think the cap you might be referring to is that historically the budget rider language has indicated that the commissioner may transfer up to $15 million into the fund. We have not done that since our initial seeding of the fund some years ago. At this point in time, this is just to say let's spend it out of the trunk highway fund and allow the legislature a chance to put it in the future.
Well,
Senator Murphy.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Gray, this was the governor's recommendation. And you just said that you didn't have the flexibility that you thought you were going to have. Why is the department proposing to put $15 million into that fund if you don't have the flexibility you need? Because that's also in the House bill. It's on page R8.
Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, I think that flexibility was with the intent that we could put in state and or federal dollars into that fund if there was available funds. At this point in time, we're maximizing usage of all our funds and getting more mileage out of it, from our perspective, if you will, out of the operating budget of the department. So in the past, this account or this loan account has been seeded, as I said, with even monies from the old ICE-T authorization period. So both ICE-T and T21 monies are in there, and these monies are essentially used and loaned to primarily local units of government, where they can complement that with revenue bonds or other sources and kind of get more bang for the buck. And then the loan account is receded by their repayment of those proceeds to the full extent, so we get a chance to reuse it. With respect to using money only on the trunk highway system, you're limited by the Constitution, essentially, in terms of your flexibility. So that's what I was referring to there, that essentially we're putting trunk highway dollars into the account to use under the trunk highway system when we already have our own budget to do that. So it turned out to not gain us the mileage we had hoped when we set up the state infrastructure bank account some time ago.
So Mr. Chairman and Mr. Gray, if this account would go away, it wouldn't really do anything, because you'd still be using that trunk highway money for trunk highway purposes.
Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, that's essentially correct, except that it would be available in the fund balance to be appropriated in the future or to be directed to other needs.
Mr. Gray, along that same line, is there a direct pass-through of federal monies in there? It isn't, is it? I mean, it's not a categorical. So technically, you can't put federal monies in there unless they come back in your general budget first and you want them back in.
Mr. Chair, there would be a legislative oversight to any monies that are put into that account.
Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Morrow kindly pulled out the statute book for us. This language we have in the House bill appears to be inaccurate. At R57, on the House side, at line 36.13, it refers to this revolving loan account as the Trunk Highway Revolving Loan Account. It's in fact called the Transportation Revolving Loan Fund, and the purpose, we unfortunately don't have subdivision 2 of this section of 446A.085, but the purpose of this fund is not trunk highway. It's very broad and refers to a lot of different things, but the purpose of the money is not enhancement of the trunk highway fund.
Mr. Grace indicated, though, it's strictly trunk highway when it's used for trunk highway right now. You can't use it any other way. And an initial a purpose was to set it to be used for other than trunk highway. Is that correct? Or to match, I mean, trunk highway funds or advanced funds or something? Or how is that?
Mr. Chair, the purpose of the fund was this is really a federal program that was established. It's called a state infrastructure bank, and the hopes and intents were to give transportation needs to be addressed through this loan account and to leverage those funds to the extent that there were other revenue sources that could be complemented when you came forward with a project. As if, for instance, a typical example is where a county might approach and have a $20 million project. If we can provide them $5 million and they can put a levy on for the other $15 million over the term of the agreement, it helps make the project doable for the counties or the local governmental unit. There was also the account that Representative Portman is referring to, I believe it's a sub-account. We have a transit account. We have a road and bridge account. Within the road and bridge account, there is a specific trunk highway revolving loan account that is essentially a sub-account. And we have to keep that purpose and that character of that money because of the Constitution limiting the use and purpose of trunk highway dollars. So even though we transferred and the legislature approved the transfer of some monies into this state, this trunk highway revolving loan account some time ago. We have to keep this character separate from all the other federal dollars that, were in there. So long story short is we've essentially taken money from our operating budget pot, put it into the revolving loan account. Now we're the only ones that can use it, so we go and borrow it and pay interest back to ourselves in increments. So the balance that's currently available in the trunk highway revolving loan sub-account is approximately, my understanding is approximately $4.2 million. And I think that over the next 15 years, that will probably be increments of another $15 to $25 million that we've borrowed and would pay back, probably in the $15 million range. So I would expect that in subsequent biennials, we'd be saying, here's another $3 or $4 million for the next three or four biennials that we've loaned to ourselves, and now are saying that seems to be a lot of extra work and not serving the intent of the program. The basic structure of the transportation revolving loan account remains intact, and indeed we'll be working with the Public Facilities Authority to approve and three more projects yet this year.
Representative Portman.
Okay, I was wrong, and I think that Mr. Gray makes a good argument. I didn't want to change the use of the transportation revolving loan account, but now that I understand this is a sub-account of the transportation revolving loan account, what he said makes sense to me.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you. Also, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Gray, I think you clarified my concern. I just want to be sure that there's under this provision there'd be no transit monies or monies set aside for bike paths, et cetera, that would be transferred into the trunk highway. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hornstein, that's absolutely correct. And as I said, we've got three more projects that will be going through the PFA process yet this spring and early summer, and so we're excited about those. And I believe the local units of government are excited as well.
Thank you.
Senator Murphy, any comment?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm still not overly sold on that idea, but, you know, we could either vote now or let this one set and kind of think about it for a while.
We can let it set, and we don't need to go through the whole procedure again, I won't.
Yeah, no, I think we just need to, Senate needs a little time to try to warm to this idea. But I can tell you right away, we're not very warm on the next one.
We'll temporarily lay that one aside, Mr. Burris.
Okay.
That's basically what we hope to do with a lot of things. We want to at least clean up what we can.
Yeah. Yep.
Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair, members, I think we'll be skipping down to number 8, which is the County State Aid Highway Allocation Formula. The House and the Senate have a couple of differences in this, and I'm afraid it gets a little bit technical and complex. The County State Aid Highway Fund is the fund that's used for allocation to the counties, and there's a formula for that allocation. That formula is being changed in both the House and Senate language in slightly different ways.
Mr. Burris, may I
yes.
interrupt? Are we speaking about, we aren't addressing the new monies or the old monies, what we refer to new monies and old monies?
We're talking about...
Are we aware of it?
Yeah. I'm hoping to outline that, Mr.
Okay.
Chair. The change that's contained in both the House and Senate consists of allocating to the counties funds that it's under a different formula for what is called the apportionment sum and the excess sum. The apportionment sum is essentially the old current revenues from the registration tax, the gas tax, and the motor vehicle sales tax. The excess sum is what's been referred to as the new money. It's the additional revenue that's being raised through whatever changes to the registration tax, whatever increase in the gas tax, and the phase-in of the motor vehicle sales tax for transportation. So the new money is the additional revenue that's coming from this, from both the House and Senate bills. The difference is, there are two differences between the House and the Senate. One has to do with how that determination of what what is new money versus what is old money is calculated. And this only relates to the MVEST portion of the new money. What the House does is take a looks at the percent allocated for transportation, or I'm sorry, the percent allocated in 2007 from MVEST, and connects the new money based on whatever what that current percentage is in 2007. And what the Senate does is actually specify a particular amount that was allocated in 2007. So the effect going forward is that in future years there will be natural growth in the House, under the House proposal, in how much money is going to be considered old revenue and be allocated under the old FSA formula, because by being based on a percentage, as there are more motor vehicle sales, it'll be a set percentage of a greater amount. Whereas in the Senate, by being pegged to a specific amount, that amount doesn't change. So there isn't natural growth in the old formula for the Senate.
I think so. And Mr. Burris, and what kind of money are we talking about, that difference of, as you know, calculating the growth?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, there is another handout. Senator Murphy, my apologies.
Memory's a cousin.
There is another handout in your pile. This is entitled County State Aid Highway Fund Distribution. And what this provides, this actually gets more to the second difference.
Okay. Mr. Burris, maybe you can, for our Senate members, is to figure out what kind of dollar amount that is, say over a 5 or 10 year period. You don't have to do it now, and whenever is going to be fine. I doubt we're going to resolve this issue right now, but it would be good for me, because I think that there's a way that we can fix several of these differences that we've been talking about, with the trucks and the wheel age at 5 or 10 or whatever, and then this provision, and then the next provision you're going to talk about, the administration money.
Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, mm-hmm. I didn't think to look at that number on that those amounts with regard to this difference, mm-hmm. and this sheet is more or less anticipating that same question for the other difference.
Okay,
but we can look into that and get you mm-hmm. some numbers on that.
Do you want to temporarily lay this? The latest will work aside this issue.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think Mr. Burris wanted to talk about the language that the Senate and the House have two different approaches for the administration of the fund, and maybe we could get that on the record right now. Because I think when we come back, I think the Senate will probably have something that the House would like, and we'll see if we can't get.
Mr. Burris, you just want to continue?
Sure.
Finish the balance of that.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, the second difference relates to several deductions that are taken out of the County State Aid Highway Fund before the monies are distributed to the counties. These deductions are for MnDOT's administrative costs of overseeing the grant, the state aid. There are also a couple of accounts for disaster research and state park roads. The difference between the House and the Senate is whether that deduction is taken from both the old money and the new money, or just from the old money. That is, that the Senate provisions take a deduction for these various categories from both from all of the county stated highway funds, whereas the House position is to only take the deductions from the old revenue and any new revenue that's provided through the increase in the gas tax and the registration tax change and motor vehicle sales tax doesn't have anything deducted for it. the effect is in the House version to provide more funding to the counties and not have additional funding going to MnDOT and these other accounts. And this County Stated Highway Fund distribution provides an example. It's not exact dollars of how this would play out, but it should give you a sense of the magnitude based on just a rough idea of what 2008 allocations could look like.
No, this other second sheet.
Yeah, this is a separate sheet that has a table that contains current law, the House proposal, the Senate proposal, and what the difference would be in amounts.
I think Mr. Burris too, like the disaster account is a fixed a dollar amount, isn't it? It used to be 300. I don't know what it is now. 300,000. Is that a flex? That doesn't flex that much unless it's money taken out of the account. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, it's a percentage is taken out. A percentage is set aside from the amount that's available in the County Stated Highway Fund for the disaster account.
There used to be a cap.
I'm not sure about a cap. I'd have to take a look at that.
Because that would make a difference. That's what I was wondering. Mark Rose, he knows it as well. Research is fixed, so is that up 40% and a half or Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair, I believe research is at 0.75%. I'll have to double check that.
That's pretty much fixed. It varies maybe in a few years, but it's been fixed. So, I mean, the reason I was going to say that, basically the accounts we're dealing with, disaster research and the only one that, and Park Roads hasn't been adjusted that often. Those are pretty much fixed accounts normally, but every once in a while somebody tweaks them because of some change. But I mean, the amount would be pretty much fixed.
Mr. Chair and members, there is a cap in the disaster account, but it's not a specific dollar amount. It's based on percentages, so it's not exceeding 2% of the total amount that's apportioned to the counties.
I mean, those are pretty much safe. They don't really get adjusted much. So really, in the there's probably not too much variation in this one portion of the account. That's what I'm thinking. Because the administration account is fixed, the disaster account are percentages, the research is a percentage, and the park roads are percentages, right? So, is the total amount more than 5%, Mr. Burris, or not? I'm thinking of a different account.
Mr. Chair, the total is somewhat less than 5%.
Yeah.
Is this for 1 year?
Yeah. This one's very similar. You don't even take anything out of Unless there any further discussion from members, we'll lay this over so we can, your individual members can discuss it, and we'll address it for the next meeting. Okay. Not Mr. Burris, you can you continue further?
Mr. Chair and members, item 9 on the Transportation Finance Conference Committee discussion items list, which is on page 2, consists of a number of appropriations for the Department of Public Safety.
Well, these are all public safety account now.
Yes.
I think these we can clean up probably pretty well.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe we can have somebody from the patrol or public safety come and, you know, these issues were talked about quite a bit on the Senate side, and we felt we were fairly comfortable with what we were doing in regards to troopers and making sure that you know, the money flow worked right. But if they'd want to come and tell us, you know, kind of what language they want, we'll go with what they feel is best.
Senator, we'll let him start, and as we need him, we'll call him in.
Okay, okay. That's fine.
Mr. Burris, do you want to start on 9, the first part?
Mr. Chair and members, on page R15, the first one, and I should back up by noting that there are a couple being skipped based on the general fund target for the conference committee not being available yet. On page R15, the first one is a appropriation for the Office of Communications, and there are technical differences between the House and the Senate. The appropriation amounts are the same.
What's the technical difference, Mr.
Chair? Mr. Chair, the technical differences have to do with the basic structuring of the bill in how it's organized between subdivisions and paragraphs, and that difference extends throughout all of the appropriations in the House and Senate language. It's just the basic structure is somewhat different between the two bills, and
so it doesn't affect the money. It just
Mr. Chair, it does not affect the money. It's simply a structural presentation issue.
Okay, Senator Murphy, or the first part in that R15, page R15, that's just some wordage that doesn't affect money. And if they will, Bonnie and the staff will correct that. Is that okay? So we should maybe move that one. Yeah. We should move the whole works.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Boyd, Ms. Berzoski are telling me that, you know, some of these are not technical differences.
And some of them we got different.
This is part of a bigger structural piece. I think they need time to look through it. And oh, Mr. Chairman, the numbers are the same, so why don't we just adopt the numbers, and then we'll worry about the language at the next meeting. I think the staff needs to talk a little bit. Mr. Zosky and Ms. Boyd have a few concerns about the body of the whole section in regards to public safety. But the numbers are fine, because all of our numbers are the same. So.
Yeah, except in the rider. We have two rider differences, apparently, in the troop.
Mr. Chair and members, the appropriations are the same on all of these, but there are differences that if we wanted to step through, we could address. I'm not sure if you want to address some of the language differences that deal with riders. The appropriation overall is the same, but the House has a couple of riders where the intended uses of some of the money that's being appropriated is specified in the rider, and the Senate has a limitation on use of funds for capital security.
We could address those too, and maybe if I could ask Ms. Berezovsky. Basically, between you and Mr. Burris, these are minor, they're wordage, basically, but it doesn't affect really the monetary portion or anything. Could we, in your opinion, we could address all of these, and we'd let staff just to pick up the wordage, and we'll address the money.
Mr. Chair, I think it would be appropriate to address the money, and if you want to address the differences in the rider language that go with those appropriations, I think that would be appropriate. It's just that to resolve the technical difference in this one piece, I think we need to have the broader discussion of the way that the two articles are, or the Article 1 is structured by the House and by the Senate, and that we can do that at the staff level and
okay.
and offer some assistance on that. But for today, I think the numbers and the riders would be very appropriate to deal with.
Then we could go to R18, which is the first one dealing with money. Mr. Burris, do you want to just comment on that? Sounds like we're just about saying, though, doesn't it?
Mr. Chair, on page R18, there is an appropriation for patrolling highways. This is one of the appropriations to the state patrol. And the difference here is not in the amounts of the appropriation. It has to do with the riders.
It's in the rider, right?
And both the House and Senate have rider language identifying that part of the costs are for 40 additional troopers and part of the costs are for additional fuel costs. Ms. Berzowski and I have discussed this a couple of times. Actually, all the staff have been in conversations on what the proper language should be here, and it's a little bit different from both the House and the Senate.
What I think we would recommend
at the risk of putting words in my colleague's mouth is to come back with language that reflects what the committee's intent is after the appropriations piece has been discussed.
I think Mr. Burris and Ms. Berzowski, basically the difference was whether we stipulated that amount out of that to show what was used for fuel so they wouldn't use that amount, or not would they, I don't mean it that way, but at least they identified the fuel cost separately. And I think, I don't know if I've had the discussion with the members, I believe I did, maybe I didn't, but it appears to me that'd be reasonable, and I don't see any objection to that, really, that we could isolate that money out of the troopers amount. I don't know if members of the committee, if I may just address the members of the House committee, yes. What it amounts to in the bill, as you remember, the total dollars, some patrol dollars, included monies for increased fuel costs. And the Senate separates that, and I think that's a good idea, just to leave the amount that went normally for the troopers and take the additional fuel costs as a separate item. We didn't do that, and the Senate did that. And I think that we got a nod from all of them.
Mr. Chair, we did do that as well.
We did that later?
Yes, it's on page R19. Lines 14.10 to 14.11.
Then, Mr. Burris, what's our problem?
Mr. Chair and members, I'm not sure that there is a problem.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Chair,
we don't have any problems.
Then we're okay in that. That's just something the staff has to address.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, if the committee wants to direct staff to work out the specifics of the rider language and tell staff that rider language is desired, that might be one way to go.
Senator Murphy.
Well, yes, Mr. Chairman, rider language is desired as long as it's on the Senate side. No, I'm kidding. It's Saturday.
Actually, to that point, there is additional rider language that would need to go under commercial vehicle enforcement, which is the next appropriation item. Some of the amount of the fuel cost that's identified under patrolling highways would actually apply to commercial vehicle enforcement.
You'd have to split that, Mr. Burris.
So, yes, that would be split, and that's something that staff could do if you want to simply identify that you do want rider language. We can do up the language and get it into the final.
Unless someone speaks to the contrary, we can authorize staff to do that.
Yeah. That's fine. Mr. Chairman, I do have a question, though, for Mr. Burris. Mr. Burris, there on R20, maybe I'm getting ahead of you here a little bit, but you guys have the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, and you're sending some money over there. I don't remember hearing that in the Senate. I mean, what do you remember what that was all about?
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, that is grants.
Which one is it?
Funding. I'm sorry, it's for administration of grants that are received by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. It's actually in the spreadsheet for both the House and Senate as a change item.
Okay.
Well, these are pretty.
All right. That is also the case for a couple of the other writers that are where there's language present in the Senate version but not in the House version, for the vehicle services, driver services, and pipeline safety. Those are all in the spreadsheet for both the House and Senate, and I can go into to greater detail on those if you want.
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman, we don't need to, Mr. Burris. I was just... I was curious about that one there. I understand about the records coordinator and some of the other stuff that's in there, and I think that's part of the request that we just made to staff kind of get that cleaned up. And
Senator Bonner,
Mr. Chair, that's fine. Senator Murphy set aside. I was just noting that on lines 15.4 and 15.5, we didn't have the records coordinator on our side, but it sounds like Senator Murphy knows about that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Bonoff, although we didn't specify those items, I do believe that we heard that testimony and what that money was going to get spent for, and we just didn't put a writer in. It sounds like the House.
The monies are the same.
Yep.
I understand. Thank you.
Is that fine?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, I would note that there is a more of a substantive difference on capital security. This is page R19 in the Senate language starting on 14.32. And this provides some limitations on transferring and spending money between capital security and trunk highway fund dollars. Mm-hmm.
Is that in the writer, Mr. Burse? Oh,
yes, Mr. Chair.
20. No. Oh, I was looking down in this part. Okay. I was in the wrong part.
Mr. Chairman, if I think maybe the House needs to kind of look at that provision there and let it soak in for a little bit, then maybe we'll talk about it again on Monday.
Yeah, I think we were limiting pretty much on that one.
Yeah.
We did.
Okay.
That's usually the position of the Senate in here. Now we got it.
Oh, no, that is our position. That's still our position. Oh, that's on our side.
Yeah, okay, that's right. I was thinking that was our side. Actually, unless there's some problem with the House conferees, it appears to me that the Senate language isn't too bad in that portion. It was a limiting factor on the funds. If you read it, it's on page 9, R19 in the Senate language. Representative Hartman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I ask you, is this consistent with the current practice that the money for the capital security doesn't come from Trunk Highway Fund?
That's the language, right.
Is that existing law already?
No, that was a rider that the Senate put in there.
But right now, is there a portion of capital security that comes from the Trunk Highway Fund?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that... Did you hear Ms. Berzosky?
So it would need to be in effect.
Oh, maybe we can have Ms. Berzosky say it again. There's other people that didn't hear us.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hartman, that rider exists in the current budget bill, and then that budget bill expires at the end of the fiscal year, so if the legislature wants to keep that restriction in effect, it would have to be carried forward either as it is in the Senate bill or in some other form.
Can I ask real quickly, where do we get the money that we pay for capital security with?
General.
I believe that's correct. We used to get it. It's our account in public safety, but that was general fund monies, as I remember. Isn't that correct?
I think that's what our constituents expect, is their gas tax money and their license tab money isn't going to pay to keep us safe. So I think that's the right policy choice.
Mr. Chairman, there's a move afoot to just put a gun in everybody's pocket these days.
So we don't need them.
Well, we already have that in the house.
Oh.
We already got it in the house. So we just have every one out of every five that's carrying a gun in the house. We're going to get more of them. If not, that, you know what? I think we could entertain a motion from one of the House members to accept the Senate language. That's basically...
So moved.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Mr.
We could vote on accepting the Senate language and that portion on R-19, which deals with capital security. Any further questions or comment? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I pray no. The motion passed. And Mr. Burris, do we have some more on that?
I think he's got one more.
One more in the bottom.
Yeah.
That's R-48. Senator Murphy,
mm-hmm.
just Mr. Burris pointed out, we could actually address all of these. We could move all of those, mm-hmm. and we'd be done with those right now. Is there a problem?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll make this motion. We'll adopt the money now, okay, and then we'll adopt the language when the House come or when the when councils come back with that language. We'll just adopt it. We should direct them to straighten up the language out, though.
Right. Maybe we could well withhold it all and do it one time.
That's fine too. I mean, we normally direct staff to work out those minor differences, and then we adopt them when we come back. Adopting them before we get it worked out, I don't think, is standard practice.
No, I was thinking...
We can take the money, though.
That's what I mean. We could adopt
yeah.
the money. But
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the money in that section there between R-15 and R-21, number 9 on our hit list.
Is there, all the members see that? The mm-hmm. motion?
I'll move the House money.
We're the same.
I know, but...
being very accommodating.
He probably wants to trade something later. We should.
I'm keeping score. House has 16 provisions. Senate has 1. So
you've all heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion passed that we accept the money language from R-15 through R-21. Okay, and did you want to get on the next one, R-10, Mr. Burris, or not?
Oh.
You got some other comment?
This is the
what? Yeah. Oh, that one we found. I think we'll skip that next portion because we'll A for review of our countries first on that one. That takes care of this sheet. Do you have anything other than that? The first?
Yeah.
We can go a little bit longer. That's another sheet.
I don't think this means.
Temporarily at the 2 minute reset.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't know what this is.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that got me.
The department and the affected individuals have all said that they're corpus
Yes. You could talk about those.
So who do we need to come to the table that No, I haven't seen her. Oh, yeah, she is. She's up there. Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, we'll have her.
Yeah, I bet it can. Yeah, but we're always there.
Okay. Do you know where that is?
Yeah. Yeah. R35 for the... They're both R35.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we can get back to business. We're going to revert to Ms. Berezowski on some Senate provisions, which we don't have in the House. Mr. Burris has discussed those with Ms. Berezowski before, so she will review those committees or those provisions for which we don't have in the House side. Ms. Berezowski.
Mr. Chair and members, on page R35 of the reviser side by side. On the Senate side, Section 2 increases a fee from 3% to 5% of the sales price on leases or rentals of vehicles. And this is short term rentals up to 28 days. This is a pass through amount and that is collected by the rental car company. And I believe that there's someone here who can answer questions about the specific provision and talk more about it.
Where are you now? Please.
On page R35, Representative Earhart.
R35, Section 2 on the Senate side, in the middle of the page.
Chris.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Allison Hartle. I'm the lobbyist for Avis and Budget, and this is essentially a pass-through of the motor vehicle registration, in other words, the plating fees. The 3% pass-through was originally established by the legislature about 10 years ago, and the purpose for it is to encourage the rental car companies to register, in other words, plate their more vehicles in the state of Minnesota, thereby increasing the amount that comes into the state of Minnesota, into the highway user fund. Rental car companies are not obligated to plate their rental vehicles in the state of Minnesota, and Minnesota is known nationwide as one of the higher registration cost states. So this is a mechanism that is used in many states that are higher motor vehicle registration states in order to encourage the plating of more cars in the fleet in Minnesota. There's no impact on the highway user fund unless more money is collected by the rental car companies under this provision, in which case the rental car companies at the end of the year turn the additional funds over to the highway user fund. So I think it would be the motor vehicle division.
So Mr. Chairman,
Senator Murphy.
So Mr. Chairman, Ms. Hartle, if I get this right, the cost of the administration will now be covered by this, fully covered, I should say, and there won't be any impact to the trunk highway.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's what you have in the Senate language.
Right.
Does the House members understand what we're speaking about? Okay. Not any other comment or questions of the witness? You want to move that language?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. On R35, I would move the Senate language for Article 6, Section 2.
Any questions? Any? Not all in favor, say aye.
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 Contrary? The motion passed.
And, Mr. Chairman, the next issue is right below that, and that's the motor vehicle lease price and this dock fee that maybe Ms. Schlander would want to come down, and I believe that's your... Okay.
Actually, for the House members, the reason we don't have or didn't address these, as you're well aware, we didn't have that in our target. We didn't have lease... there's sales tax on leased vehicles, so that's how come it's on the Senate side. We assume we might get it or we might not get it in our target.
Yeah. Thank Welcome you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Alyssa Schlander. I represent the Minnesota Auto Dealers Association. This provision that starts on R35 is actually sort of a three-part provision. Our amendment that it was Senator Murphy's provision in the Senate is actually now on the side-by-side, it's R35, lines 32.6 to 33.2, and then there's another section on R39 dealing with sales of motor vehicles on lines 35.20 to 36.21, and then finally on page R59, lines 49.7 to 49.18. So what this does actually is... The state allows dealers to charge a document administration fee to help us cover the costs of the taxes and the title work and the plate work and the consumer protection provisions and all the stuff that the state requires. I'm sorry.
Sorry, could I just stop you for a minute?
Sure.
Again, so the members can follow. You couldn't follow, probably. Ms. Berezowski, would you want to state the sections again for the... page?
Mr. Chair, the section where the documentary fee is raised from $50 to $75 is actually on R57, not R59.
Oh,
and
sorry.
It's on the Senate side. It's section Article 10, Section 1 on the Senate side beginning on 49.7. That's where the increase goes, is found. Then there are two other sections that subject the documentary fee or that include the documentary fee in the sale price of the vehicle for the first time for MVEP purposes and in the lease price for motor vehicle lease sales tax purposes. So the full 75 would be included in those two sale prices. Oh, and I'm sorry, those are on page 35, Article 6, Section 3, beginning at line 32.6, and then the other one is on R39, Article 6, Section 6, beginning at line 35.20.
Why don't you pass that out? Mr. Chairman, you rattle off these numbers before I can find the first one. You're on to three others, so either go slower or put them on a piece of paper or something.
All right.
We got the first one on R57, I think.
Mr. Chairman and
Senator Murphy,
Senator Representative Earhart, page R35. Okay, section 3 starts there on line 32.6.
That's that whole paragraph.
Right. Next one is R38.
R39. Must be a little bit different because we start on section 6, right?
Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah, it's R38. The very last sentence on the Senate side language, it starts off 35.20, section 6. So it's that section goes down here on R39 also, where it says subdivision 8, purchase price, and then all the way down to where it starts at, all the way down to 36.21. And then the last one, Representative Earhart, is that Article 10 on R57.
Thank you.
Do you have more?
Yeah.
Okay. And
young lady's name. Miss Flander.
What are you doing with this? Is it increase? Can you report that again?
What?
Senator Murphy, just bring us up to date.
Oh, okay. And Mr. Chairman, members, Ms. Schlander had brought this to our office to make sure that the cost of providing this service, this documentation administration, paid for itself, basically. I think that's where we're at. And since we're right, and on R57, you can see it goes from $50 to $75. I realize that that kind of looks like a big chunk of change, but Ms. Schlander ensured us that that's just covering the doc fee.
Where does that money go? Ms. Schlander, could you explain now? Because we didn't catch it. You're kind of going kind of fast, and some of our members didn't have this.
I apologize, Mr. Chair. This is aside from the fact that this has been confusing to find these provisions, it's really not a confusing proposition. All we're doing is we're asking for an increase in the cap on the fee that dealers charge in order to process all of the state's documenting work that we do on behalf of motor vehicles. So all of the things that we're talking about in the transportation bill, the various wheelage taxes, local option sales taxes, the title work, the plate work, all of these things, the state allows us to recoup our costs of charging for a document processing work. Minnesota is one of...
May I just ask a question? Now, when you're speaking of that, the increase in the fees goes back to the dealer that's doing the processing. None of this money comes back into the state. Is that correct?
Well, currently, all of the fee goes to the dealer. What we're proposing here is to subject that fee also to the MVETs and to the general sales tax, depending on whether the transaction is a lease or a purchase, so that the state can actually tax the service.
Representative Hortman.
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, I have a question about this piece of whether it shouldn't be considered by Representative Atkins' committee, because it seems like it's a consumer-related issue. I understand that the state would benefit if we apply the MVEST tax to this document administration fee, so there's something in it for us. But when people go to buy a car, this is one of the things they hate, right? It's all these fees and what are they for and what's the state fee and what's the tax. And I don't know, it just to me seems like a consumer education issue or a consumer fairness issue of whether it's warranted to go from 50 to 75. And I really have a question on the last piece we did too, but I'll move to that after we finish talking about this one.
Senator Bonham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question for Ms. Schlander, just so I fully understand. So when you're saying it's subject to the sales tax, so, for example,
Mr. Chairman, maybe Ms. Beresowski should...
Thank you, Ms. Beresowski, because that wasn't what I had understood previously.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, Mr. Chair and Senator Bonoff, my understanding is that the full $75 is kept by the dealer, and then when the purchaser of the motor vehicle goes to pay the MVEST or whatever, then that $75 is included in the price upon which the MVEST is calculated.
That's what I was trying to
say. Thank you.
Thank you for clearing that. That's what was my concern, because I thought I followed that correctly, and I wasn't getting... Did you have a Representative Hortman, do you have a question?
Well, just to make that point that I didn't make very well before, is I'm not comfortable with the Senate language on this, because to me this isn't really an issue for our transportation finance omnibus bill. I think it's a consumer protection knowledge kind of issue, and I think it should be in a different bill.
Indirectly, it's money that comes through the finance division it's in our, it ends up in the motor vehicle license or sales tax.
Mr. Chair, I understand the proposal that does part, the way that the auto dealers have crafted the proposal is the state gets something out of it. The only reason there's an impact on our budget is because they're letting us apply the MBEST to the document fee, which when you apply the MBEST to $75 on every car that's sold in the state, that's going to positively impact us. And so that's money we have to think about. But the policy issue of whether the auto dealer should be charging the average consumer $50 for a document fee or $75 for a document fee, I don't know if we as Transportation Finance Conference Committee members can determine whether that's the right amount for the auto dealers or not. I just think there's probably more testimony that would influence whether I would think this is a good law or not.
Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe Ms. Boyd can give us a few of the numbers related to this, and then
Ms. Boyd.
Mr. Chair and Representative Portman, the estimate that we've been given by the Department of Revenue is a maximum amount because the fee goes up to $75 or up to $50 in current law. They can only assess the maximum amount that would be collected if everyone charged this fee. On the purchase price, if all dealers applied the maximum new fee of $75, the collections are estimated to be $3.9 million annually, and that's to MVEST, so that would go into the allocation formula. The other, on the lease price, it would be a maximum of about $297,000 a year. Right now, that would just go into the general fund. If the leasing sales tax was adopted in the bill, the changes then that would be also allocated to other transportation funds. But that, again, is a maximum amount.
Mr. Chairman, I think that maybe this is another one that we ought to just leave out for right now, and you guys can kick it around, and maybe Alyssa can come and talk to you all, and I'm sure she will.
Representative Horton.
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't know if the right motion is to reconsider the last thing that we did, but we did it pretty quickly on the fee imposed on leases. Back on page R35 at lines 32.2 through 32.4, with the lease, if you go lease a car, there's a charge on there that says 3% of the sales price is a fee imposed by the state of Minnesota for the registration of rental cars. But it's really a fee imposed by the lessee or the lessor to recoup costs that they're paying to the state of Minnesota. So I have a similar concern about this, that from a consumer standpoint, when you look at this, you think you're paying a fee to the state of Minnesota when you're really paying a fee to the rental car agency.
And Mr. Chairman and Representative Hortman, we're talking about the pass-through money? Is we're back to the pass-through, is that?
Yeah.
What you're talking about, Representative Hortman.
And perhaps I'm confused, but I thought I understood Ms. Hartle to say that money doesn't go to the state of Minnesota, that it goes to the rental car agency.
It comes back to the state, though, when they sell. Well, pardon, that's the tab fee that goes back to the state. On a rental car, what happens to that? That's passed through also. Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair and Representative Portman, that money is passed through. However, we're only talking about the rental cars, like the 28-day rentals, so the people who come to Minnesota and want to rent a car. And why that's important to the state of Minnesota is because right now it's beneficial for those rental car companies to plate someplace else. And if they plate someplace else, we don't get the bigger amount of registration for MBEST. And so in order to incentivize our rental companies to plate in Minnesota, we're allowing them to recoup more of their costs, their administrative costs, so that they do that. When I first heard about this, I was concerned we were talking about longer leases, and so we were affecting the citizens of Minnesota. I was more comfortable thinking that we're really talking about the people who are coming into our state renting at the airport, et cetera.
See, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Chairman, this is the same argument that the truckers are using to try to get out of the wheelies tax. So, you know, we've already done it for one area, so.
Representative Hortman, you have further questions?
My discomfort is giving the impression to a consumer, whether they're from Minnesota or not, that they're paying a fee to the state of Minnesota that they're not paying to the state of Minnesota. And maybe that's a radically pro-consumer position, and maybe it would mellow over time on that. But just reading it, it just strikes me as what we're letting them do is say something that's not true because we want them to place their cars here. So, you know, we went by it too fast for me to bring that up before. I would feel more comfortable if we moved to reconsider and set this aside, and maybe Senator Murphy can school me in the ways of legislative compromise in the interim.
We are going to set aside. We haven't had any motions. Basically, we were going to set it aside so we could discuss it.
Well, that's one of the issues we already voted on.
Oh. We're you mean the previous one? Too?
Yeah, I'd like to move to reconsider that.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, that's fine. If Senator Hortman is uncomfortable with that, we don't want to move forward without. So I would move the vote by, and since I was, we both were on the prevailing side, that the vote that we took, where was that on our sheet here now?
It's not on the sheet.
Okay. Article 6, Section 3. Mr. Chairman, we could reconsider that. Section 2. I'm sorry, Section 2.
Is there a reference in one of our sheets that we're working with?
No.
No. We didn't vote on that, did we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
This one right here. Senator Murphy moves to reconsider the Section 2, Article 3?
Article 6, Section 2.
Section 2?
Mm-hmm.
Any further discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
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 Contrary, no. The motion passed.
And, Mr. Chair, we can just set that one aside.
We're going to set the whole issue aside.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think, Ms. Ferbzowski, we will conclude and just make announcements. We've reached our bewitching hour. Senator Murphy, do you have any comments about the next meeting schedule?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that for planning purposes, and I know that the House has a preliminary schedule out for next week, and we all know how well those work. For either body, I'm not just picking on the House, but I think that we should probably meet 30 minutes after the last body adjourns on Monday. And then, if we want to just make that kind of a standard for next week. I think that members, if we get our target on time Monday, hopefully, and there's some resolve on to what we're going to do with the leased vehicle, because really that's the only difference is that we have between our bills and relationship to money. I think that we'll be done and have something out of here by Thursday. That's the way I'd like to do it. I think it's possible if we can get those decisions made by leadership.
I think for the members of the committee, too, that we have to recognize that may Monday night definitely might run into evening. Depends on when the House, and if you don't talk too long on the House floor, we'll get done quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, other than that, I think we're tentatively scheduled that way. And that will probably be the schedule for the balance of the week if we can work it that way, because it's our. We anticipate we'd like to clean this bill up at least in the next week with Senator Murphy. Try to.
That's my intention, Mr. Chairman, is to be done and out of here by Thursday or so.
That's our intention. That's my intention. Are there any other questions as far as comments for discussion?
Mr. Chair, did we
present
a time for Monday?
Beg your pardon?
Yeah.
So not in the morning. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Miss.
Did you have a question too, Senator Moore, or Representative Moore? I think...
Well, Mr. Chairman, the only thing that I wanted to also bring up was that, and did everybody get a letter from the governor?
I did, but I don't know if the members did.
Did you get one?
Did all the members get a copy?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, the governor has a 3-page letter that he sent to me, and, you know, I'm not one much to mince words. Obviously, the governor kind of felt that it was important to write a 3-page letter. He could have done it in one sentence, basically saying, hey, conferees of the Senate and House Transportation Building, or Transportation Bill, unless you capitulate to my bill, there won't be one. That's basically what the letter says, and I would have been able to do it in one sentence, but he had 3 pages of rambling, so...
Well, Mr. Chair,
I do have a response, and it's only 3 paragraphs.
Representative Morrow. Well, Mr. Chair, maybe you then could, following up on what Senator Murphy said, if you could explain to me what the long-term approach here is, if the governor is indeed going to reject whatever we send.
Well, Representative Morrow, one of the things that probably Senator Murphy, there's implications that we can borrow, and that's the problem. We borrowed in the past, we don't keep paying for it. And my concern is, I think the committee is aware, we discussed it before, we anticipate that we'd like to send a bill that we think he could sign. And if that bill comes back vetoed, you know, rather than the big bill that we talked about, we don't have much choice except to send him a bare bones bill. And when I mean bare bones, there's no bonding in it. I think Senator Murphy and I talked about it. That means the department can keep running, but there's not going to be any additional money, no bonding money, period, either, Representative Morrow. That's the point I think we agreed on, because I think we have reached a point where we will be able to negotiate, but by the tone of the letter, there's no room for negotiating. Right. It's either that or not. So I don't know if that answers your question.
It does. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
It's going to be strictly bare bones, and we can walk out of here. The department keeps running. They got their money, their dedicated funds, nothing more. Mm-hmm. So,
and Mr. Chairman, if you know, Representative Morrow, that's clearly not what we want to do. We want to pass a bill. I mean, we sat here last year and we were so close to passing a bill, and then all of a sudden, you know, something happened and, you know, boop, you know, it's gone. But I do believe that the governor and everyone has to understand what's at stake here. And when Representative Leader talks about a bare bones, and this hurts my district probably more than a lot of the metro or suburban districts, but that means no 50 troopers. It means no going to a fee-based service at DVS. It means nothing but just keeping the lights on. And that's not fixing the building over there that we ought to be fixing. It's not fixing the one down in Mankato that needs to get fixed. It's we're going to give the governor his bill minus his bonding. And it's not a pretty picture. I the governor should be here and should be engaged in this conversation. Instead, we get a 3-page letter telling us that, you know, we're full of it. I think that we've done some really good work. I know in the Senate, you know, we went and we traveled around and Frank, you were along and brought the House folks along and went and all over, you know, the metropolitan area and even up to St. Cloud to talk about transit options. And we did a lot of work, and we did the same thing on the roadside, too. We didn't travel around, but we had a lot of people come in from all over the place to talk about the state of the roads. And it's crazy. It's crazy that we have a system in play that we've been using for 100-some years, and the governor now wants to go and take us down the path of just fiscal irresponsibility. It's amazing to me. There's several other states in the United States that have done this. We're going to bond for everything, and now all their gas tax money is going to pay for debt service, and they don't have a dime left over to do maintenance. That was where our department is headed, period. I mean, you know, we can talk about all these new projects on the road what the Lieutenant Governor say the other day, unprecedented construction in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, but my grandson gets to pay for that. I mean, you know, our folks didn't do that to us, and it's just beyond me why we should, you know, pile up all this debt on our kids and grandkids. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, Senator Murphy, I appreciate you saying that. We just had another death on Highway 14 down in my area, so as you're talking about things like buildings, I'm also talking about safety, and this time, members, it was the brother-in-law of the mayor of North Mankato. And so he called me the same day and said, when are you going to take care of the roads? And members, I certainly do understand Highway 14 is not the only unsafe road in Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
but it's another issue, which I, right now on the MnDOT projections, it gets done in 2030
mm-hmm.
under present funding.
Right. And, Mr. Chairman, you know, that's the other thing. The 2020 transit plan in the metropolitan area is now a 2030 plan. And the way that MnDOT and the Met Council are going about it, and this is not against the staff people or anything, this is about the executive members that make the decision, it's going to be 2050 or 20 never. And I think that that's okay with some of those folks. And it's not okay with the staff. It's not okay with the people in the metropolitan area. And Highway 14, that needs a complete build-out. And it's not okay with your constituents down there. It's not okay with Dick Day's constituents. Highway 57 over in my district, which, well, it runs down in your neck of the woods, too, but that's part of Steve Swigum's area. Got a call from a guy on the phone the other day, and he, a good friend of mine, he was less than happy. As a matter of fact, the first time I'd ever heard him use... naval talk, put it that way. Words you would not use in church, okay. He was very unhappy. You know, he broke a tie rod end. Driving on Highway 57, on a state trunk highway, down in Senator Sparks' district, they got a road where the county sheriff was writing people tickets because they were driving on the shoulder of the road because it was smoother than the road. You know, the long-term projection in District 6, where I come from, over 80% of the roads are going to need a complete overhaul. We don't have that kind of money. And unless we decide to make the investment now, we're not. And this governor can talk about his bonding all he wants, but we're just going to be in debt. And it's not a good plan. And by gosh, I would hope that... anyway, I'll pass out the letter I'm going to send back to him. I think you'll all find a little bit of humor in it. So.
Unless there's anything else for the good of the order, we adjourn till Monday, and we'll watch to see when the session's over. The meeting's adjourned.